by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. Sometimes at the end of a particularly hectic and confusing day, I feel like one of those snow globes that have a little scene inside a glass dome where you shake them up and watch the flakes swirl around until they finally settle down. And sometimes when Carol asks me what I'm thinking, at times like that when I'm just sitting there, I tell him I'm snow globing. I'm waiting for that dust to settle. And it seems to me that after the resurrection, the disciples must have been doing some big time snow globing as they tried to put the pieces of their life back together. There's an old expression, it's a modern one, but I think it's pretty universal. The only certainties on this earth are death and taxes. Well, the disciples were having to come to terms with the strange fact that even death wasn't so much of a certainty as they had thought. And they had no idea yet where their lives were going now that those 3 years of travel with Jesus had come to this dramatic and unexpected end. So it was perfectly natural that they fell back on something they knew, something safe and familiar. "I'm going fishing," Peter said, and James and John and Thomas and Nathanael and two others of the disciples went along with him. And Jesus met them there by the sea in the very same place where he had first met them one morning 3 years before. That place, that body of water, goes by several different names in the gospel. Sometimes it's called the Sea of Galilee, sometimes it's called the Lake of Tiberias or the Sea of Tiberias, and sometimes it's called the Sea of Gennesaret. But it's all the same old body of water. And on that morning, Peter, who was tired after a long, frustrating night of fishing, had been on the beach washing out his nets. And Jesus was there, Jesus whom he didn't yet know, and Jesus was teaching, and a huge crowd had gathered. So Jesus climbed into Peter's boat and asked Peter to bring him out a little way into the water so the crowds could hear him. And at the end of his teaching, Jesus told Peter to cast his nets back into the water. Peter was pretty skeptical at the time, not to mention he was probably exhausted and ready to go home and get some sleep. He didn't even really know yet who this strange teacher was, but he did as Jesus asked him to, and we all remember what happened. Suddenly they pulled in so many fish that the nets were breaking, and that was how the first four disciples came to believe that Jesus was a man of God. That was the moment when they decided to follow him. And today we read about a moment 3 years later where history kind of repeated itself. The disciples had taken their gear out and they went out and they fished all night long. And once again, they didn't catch a single fish. And as morning broke, they saw a man standing on the beach. They didn't recognize him yet. And the man called out to them, "Children, have you caught anything?" And they said, "Nope." So he called out to them, "Throw your nets out on the right side of the boat. You'll find some." And exactly as it had happened on that morning 3 years before, as soon as they cast their nets into the water, there were so many fish they couldn't handle them all. And suddenly they knew that the man was Jesus. It was John who knew first, and he cried out, "It's the Lord!" And Peter the impetuous, tucked up his robes that he had taken off to work in the boat, and he threw himself into the sea and just left the others to handle the load of fish on their own. It was deja vu all over again, as they say. But a lot had happened since that first meeting on the beach. It was the same place. It was the same time of day. It was the same fishing boats and nets. It was the same smells and sounds. It was even the same miraculous catch of fish. But the world had changed forever. Even Jesus in his resurrected body was somehow different. John says they knew it was Jesus, but nobody dared to ask him to be sure. Their whole world had changed, and those men, those followers of Jesus, would never be the same again, no matter how hard they tried to hold on to everything that was familiar to them. And then, after they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Peter a question. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And I want to look at that question carefully because it's sort of puzzling what Jesus meant by that. It could actually mean several different things. Jesus could be asking Peter, "Do you love me more than your friends love me?" And we can be sure that's not what Jesus is asking, because he would be asking Peter to make a judgment he wasn't able to make. Only God could see into the hearts of each man. If anyone were to compare the love that the disciples each had for Jesus, it could only be Jesus himself. And another thing Jesus could have been saying is, "Do you love me more than you love your friends?" Peter would have known from the time he grew up that his first love always needed to be the Lord, but Jesus doesn't seem to be asking Peter about that either. What Jesus seems to mean by this is this: do you love me more than these things? These things of your old familiar life, do you love me more than these boats, more than these nets, more than these waves, these fish, even these companions? Do you love me enough to leave it, all of it, behind? Do you love me enough to follow me? I believe that's what Jesus meant by that question. Remember when Peter first met Jesus over this full net of fish, and he and his brother and his friends first decided to follow this amazing teacher. Jesus had told them, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." It was a big thing they did on that day to leave their boats and their livelihoods behind for a time, but it still sounded familiar. But here, 3 years later on the beach, Jesus was asking Peter for something more. In fact, he was asking for everything. "Do you love me more than everything you've always thought of as your life? Follow me. You are not going to be Peter the fisherman anymore. I'm calling you to be Peter the shepherd. I'm entrusting my flock to you. I'm calling you to feed my lambs. I'm calling you to tend my sheep." It's a really scary thing to face changes in our lives. It's scary to let go of those things that are familiar to us. It's scary to make a new beginning. We don't like change. I don't like change. I think for most of us, as we grew up, God first spoke to us through familiar things in our lives. We met God through our families. We met God through the familiar routines of church going. A lot of us did anyway. As we grew older, we met God in the familiar routines of our work. But at some point, we all experience times of change. We all go through times of being uprooted from what's familiar to us, not just once in our lives, but over and over again in our lives. Happened when we grew up and left home. We went off to college, or we moved away on our own, and suddenly our relationship with our parents and our friends and our home and our old self would never be the same again. It happens when we face a loss, the death of somebody we love who was part of our very self, or the pain and betrayal of a failed marriage or the end of a friendship. Happens when we retire or when our children move away from home and we suddenly wonder if we know who we are even after all these years. It happens when we face all those physical losses and limitations of growing older. Our vision weakens. Our bodies fail us little by little. And in all those losses, Jesus is there for us. As we feel that uprootedness, that change, he asks us, "Child, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the people and the places and the things and the abilities that you always thought defined you? Do you love me enough to let go and just follow me?" And when everything inside us is just aching to hold on to what's familiar and to go back to when we were younger and to cling to the world that we know, the only way forward for us is love. Because Jesus brings us through those hard times, but he never leaves us at a dead end. He always calls us on. He always calls us forward to follow him into a future. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's with us to the end of the ages. Jesus spoke of Peter's death. "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." Jesus knew that for Peter, the way forward was going to lead not only to ministry, but in the end, to martyrdom. And even so, he told him, "Follow me." I'm talking about really hard things in life, things we don't even like to think about, things that the world fights against with all its might and main. Media and entertainment and advertising, the whole world system is all about hanging on to our youth and resisting change and covering up the pain of losses that we can't avoid. The world tries to sanitize death with beautiful funeral homes and nice green cemeteries. And the world replaces broken relationships like burnt out light bulbs. And when people can't escape the progression of time anymore, the world tucks them safely away in nursing homes where we don't have to look at them anymore. The world calls it the circle of life, but what they really mean is the circle of death, and the world is terrified of it. Because for the world, when you come to the end of the circle, that's it. You're done. But all that belongs to the old world, the world that's fading away in the light of the resurrection. The good news of the gospel of Jesus, the good news we have, is that there is a way forward. There is a future. Even though it leads through loss and change and death. We follow Jesus because we know that he walked that whole way before us so we could follow him all the way through. And it starts with letting go. It's what Jesus meant when he told his disciples, those who seek to save their lives will lose them. But the ones who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. Jesus asks us, do you love me more than these, more than your own plans, more than your traditions, more than your comfort, more than your possessions, more than your abilities, more than the life you've always known? And he says, follow me. But our love isn't a matter of how we feel about Jesus. It's not a matter of what we understand about Jesus, because those things change. Our feelings are up and down. Our understanding fails us all the time. Love is in the act of following, one step at a time. We love now, and we love Jesus now, and we love Jesus now. Each moment, choosing love, we let go of our old life, and we let go of our old assumptions, and we let go of our old security. And in the process of letting go, we receive new life from his hands. Amen.